It's out with the old and in with the new. Goodbye, clouds of gray. Hello, skies of blue. A dip in the pool, a trip to the spa, endless days in my chaise. The whole world according to moi. Excuse me. Thank you.
Iced tea imported from England. Lifeguards imported from Spain. Towels imported from Turkey. And Turkey imported from Maine. We're gonna relax and renew. You go do. I want fabulous. That is my simple request.
Damn right I want fabulous. Fabulous one. Phil Baker joining in the studio. Phil, how are you today, bud?
I've never heard that song before in my life.
Neither have I. I typed in fabulous song, and I was thinking maybe I'd get, like, you know, a rap song or something, and this was the first one. I saw Ashley Tisdale post Nose Job from High School Musical 2.
Well, there you go. I was hoping for Trick Daddy, but that'll have to suffice.
Yeah, there you go. So,
Welcome back to the V Show. I am Phil Baker. Great job by Keith Pointer, Nikki V, Patty Ice. In the last hour, we'll take you home, taking you up to the take coming up at 3 o'clock. Really excited for the rest of the show. Got Andrea Adelson, ESPN.com. Thank you for putting that out there. I said, look, you got Keith Pointer in here. He'll talk about the legal stuff. I'm just literally going to regurgitate what I see on Twitter from Tim Sullivan, Eric Crawford, and Cam Teague. That's all I'm giving you for the legal component of Board of Trustees. Like Drew said, that's shout out to Patty Ice and Mark Blankenbaker going to there. I ain't doing that.
Yeah, no, boots on the ground, but yeah, Phil's got enough fires to put out here. By the way, I put up the bat signal. I put the Avengers call on everybody. I like my favorite Avengers, Captain America, so I'm just going to pretend I'm Captain America, and I just like put out the thing, and now all the Avengers are coming. Keith Pointer was here. Patty Ice was here. Phil Baker's here. Perrin Johnson just texted me that he'll be here in 20 minutes, so we'll have another voice. So fantastic.
All right, well, I'm excited about that because
it'll be jam-packed. And Andrea Adelson.
Andrea Adelson and Eric Crawford coming up in the 2 o'clock hour had boots on the ground. I believe he was there as well. So those are the folks you need to follow with that. 267-9680 is the phone number. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line.
Pops just texted me. I don't know if he's going to be able to come on. I don't care. I'll pull the curtain back and let everyone see some sausage. But he's at shoot arounds, and I'm going to see if maybe he'll hop on with the take, but at the very least he's going to connect and record the blue chew spot. So yes.
That is
sultry,
that
dulcet tones of Bobby V.
Well, I was hoping he'd do that from a train yesterday. If you listened to the V Show yesterday, Nick Kurt and I filled in. Nick was trying to get Bobby V to do the Blue Chew read from a train. Was not comfortable doing that on an Amtrak train. So here we are.
Absolutely hilarious.
Speaking of Bobby V, Jimmy V Classic coming up tonight. We'll join Tennessee and Texas Tech in progress around 8 o'clock on 93.9 The Ville, followed by Syracuse and Villanova. An old Big East matchup.
I can't wait
there. I'm excited too. That takes me back. That makes me happy. And that's why I'm excited to talk to Andrea Adelson with talking about programs of our past. It breaks my heart. I have no emotional connection to the U, but I want the U to be the U of old that I grew up with. And
it's also better for the ACC if you want to, you know, be a I don't want to say company man, but a conference man.
Well, I want to ask her the long, windy maze to get to their coach to get there, and the parallels essentially you could be seeing here in Louisville with that. So I know she had some of the tips on the Vince Tirade of Florida State stuff, what that essentially means, and what potentially that could be for Vince Tirade. And then there's no news on that front. We're refreshing Twitter. No news, as Patty Ice and Keith Pointer alluded to, with this Board of Trustees stuff at the Athletic Association. Tim Sullivan's ready to take an axe like Jack Nicholson in The Shining to try and get some news from these closed doors meetings. But
based on what Keith said, and look, you know, love U of L, but I'm on Sully's side. Go get him, Sully. Based on what Keith was saying, I was like, he's not asking for anything ridiculous. He's just asking for, hey, what'd you guys talk about? You don't have to mention names, just what you guys talk about.
And that's essentially what we talked about yesterday with the transparency thing. That's something that I know folks get upset about, and the lack of just...
We've seen this movie before.
I know.
That was the whole thing. Like I said it to Maven and Rummage in the hallway. Like, I feel like life is wrestling, and it's a weaving maze of face turns and heel turns, and you just try to be a face more than a heel sometimes. But sometimes you're a really good heel, and that pays a lot of money and moves a lot of merchandise. But that's neither here nor there. But, I mean, we've seen this before, Phil.
I know.
I mean, they came in. Neely came in. Vince came in. And they came in as faces, and the idea... One of the major selling points was transparency. I mean, there were a bunch of clouds hanging over U of L, and they were going to be that beacon of light that you were going to be able to see everything, how everything was going on here. There weren't going to be any secrets. And now where are we? What, 3.5, 4 years later?
Here we are.
We are right back to where we started from.
437-9680 UPS jobs text line. EC coming on. I thought you guys were feuding. First off, it's okay to disagree on certain things. Friday night, news came out. He didn't think it warranted extended coverage. And I don't think he had his kid gloves on for it. Eric wasn't being combative about that. He was having fun with it. He hosts this show when Bob's out. But I think as the news evolved with Vince tiring the Florida State stuff, it kind of gained momentum where it was warranted. And we love EC. EC does great work over there at WDRB. So, yeah, everyone's good with that. Look, Blanket Baker thinks that, Satterfield deserves one more year. Other people around here don't. It's the beauty of sports talk radio. You disagree. Nick Curran thinks he should be extended. I fundamentally disagree on Scott Satterfield should be extended, but yet here we are. So we'll react to some of your texts and everything else going on over there. Did you book somebody?
Not the goal horn sounder. There it is. Jeez, I cannot track it down. All right, Patty alluded to this a second ago, but a texter passed this along about 6 minutes ago. 2017 four-star U of L receiver Justin Marshall has entered the grad transfer portal. He had 360. He had 36 receptions for 544 yards and a TD during his tenure at U of L. So Justin Marshall, no longer at U of L.
Yeah, that coming down from Cam Teague and I believe the NCAA transfer portal Twitter, which I think they are probably very busy these days.
Those guys.
It's like the Bring Brom home guy that's just constantly, whose account got suspended, by the way.
To ask Keith, and he's a lawyer, so I feel like he'd be able to get over. I was just going to do the whole real fast. Are you him? And just see if he like buckled for a second. And just because it could be any one of us. It could be you, Phil. It could be me.
I will do.
Who knows?
I will do a live stream of all the Twitter accounts I have on my Twitter spheres. That is not one of them. I'm showing you right now. That is Phil, NBA Lou, ESPN 680, 93.9 The Ville, in a burner account just for, in case.
For S&Gs,
just if you want to look at that. So it's not the Drew Diener account. So
now, wait. That you could have a burner that has that account on it.
That is not it. I can tell you that. I'll show you during the break.
Yeah, no, I'm showing you mine. You showed me yours. I'm showing you mine.
Let us gingerly touch tips with that. So our phones are touching right there through the glass. In case you missed it, Tim Sullivan, like I said, he has been boots on the ground over there. University of Louisville closing board meetings on personnel matters violates Kentucky's open meetings or open meetings law unless they relate to hiring, firing, or discipline. Fail to see how AD Vince Tyree's situation meets those criteria. And U of L president Neely Bindaputi declined to explain. Excited to talk to Andrea Adelson about that here in a couple minutes, because I think is this a fiscal approach? Is it overall just what Vince has done here during kind of some clouds hanging over with the NCAA stuff? He's really focused in on the building of the Denny Crum facility. That was raising $23.5 million for that to happen. So I'm fascinated with, is it just an approach? A first-time AD, you would imagine, would maybe there'd be other candidates in there, but the Florida State dynamic is going to be fascinating to me with that. And I think there's something to Nick's point yesterday. Nick Curran, he was of the belief that if Vince Tyree is not the athletic director next year, how is it his decision? And then Drew brings up the other side of the coin about extending Scott, or bringing Scott Satterfield back, I should say. How is he able to do that if he's meeting with Florida State the following day? So that's the transparency word that people go back to on what you're able to do with that. And I understand what both guys are saying with that. I mean, Blankenbaker brought it up today as much as like, hey, like you gotta, and it can't be his decision if he's not going to be here long term. And maybe that's something that they're talking behind closed door. It's all speculation at this point because they're not being transparent and upfront about this and not Tim Sullivan, who is going to go nuclear on them if somebody doesn't give him some answers, because I know how Tim Sullivan operates on that.
I love the idea of Sully. And look, I mean, he's a friend of the show.
Timmy! And just like kicks.
I just have this image of him just lurking like Sting in WCW, like just up in the rafters and then rappelling down and hitting everyone with a baseball bat. Although I guess in that analogy, that would make everyone at U of L, the NWO. I'm not sure how people feel about that, but yeah, nonetheless, yeah, it'll be interesting. All right, I need you to just tap dance for me real fast. It's 1:30. I'm going to call and get Andrea Adelson on, and you and I can have a nice little chat with her. I think Perrin just walked in the studio, so after we get done with A Double, we'll take a break. PJ will join us, and then Eric Crawford at 2. So whole lot of action. Phil, just tap dance a little for me. Phil in space.
I want to tell you about our friends over at Coca-Cola. There is a hiring event today, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Fairfield Inn and Suites. So if you're looking for a new career, head over to the Jeffersonville, Indiana today. They are out there doing a job hiring event, and apply today at CokeConsolidated.com. Funny tweet I saw Bobby V like, actually, and I thought this is something that I think will excite many people. Most of Louisville's fan base doesn't have the emotional intelligence to run a Ruby's Tuesday, which is why everyone is celebrating Tyra's departure. I'm fully confident it's going to be a huge negative move for the program. So that's something, some food for thought that are out there. If you want to interact with the show, you can do so on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680. He is Nikki V. Espen on Twitter. I am Phil_Baker. And the next guest that we are about to have on there is Andrea Adelson. She is A. Adelson of ESPN, doing great work. You see her on SportsCenter. You see her on the ACC Network. She did a great deep dive on everything with the Miami debacle. And she was one of the first ones with Pat Forty and Pete Thamel to have that out there about the Vince Tyra news, which I just find fascinating of everything going out there. Mark Blankenbaker follows the situation down there, and he says that it's, you know, if this is a headache here, the Florida State component was a headache as well. And I think that's something that people are going to point to as, like, you know, pick your poison with that if you're Vince Tyra. But who knows what's going on with this non-compete stuff, and if they are going to give some sort of transparency behind that, maybe that's something that you'll find out in the next coming days. But that is something sounds like right now we are not going to get. So I'm fascinated to see just the parallels between what's going on down in Miami. They got their guy, but it was a long, windy road to get there. But it's also something of to follow of not how to conduct a coaching search, and when your AD's not there and who's running the ship. But it also seems like it's something to kind of take notes on of what you can potentially do. And I believe Andrea Adelson is ready to join us.
Absolutely.
Here coming up. Andrea Adelson of ESPN does great work over there, just ACC coverage, college football playoff. I feel like I've seen her everywhere. Andrea, how are you during this busy season?
I feel like I have been everywhere in the last 72 hours, guys. It's been a whirlwind, no question.
Well, I guess we'll just start with the local story. You were one of the first ones to have it, along with like Pat Forty and Pete Thamel, the Vince Tyra to Florida State news that kind of started circulating around Friday evening. I mean, A, what do you make of it? Is this just a fiscal decision for Florida State, or is it just overall what he's done with the athletic department here at the University of Louisville?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I think that a lot of people believed that Florida State would go in a different direction with their athletic director. When their president retired a few months ago, the expectation was their athletic director, David Colburn, would then retire as well. So it didn't come as a surprise that the job came open. We were all expecting that to happen. The surprise is that the new president, President McCullough, has gone in a completely different direction than a lot of us anticipated. I think we all believed that he would bring somebody in who had some Florida State ties and familiarity with the program and some of the issues that the program has had over the last couple of years. And I think the appeal to Vince is the business side of what he brings to the table, to be quite honest, because Florida State has had issues for at least the last 5 years, probably longer if I sit here and start to think about it, with their finances. And it's been a bit of a dysfunctional mess down there. They finally got things a little bit more organized with the way their athletic department and their booster wing and the university are now all aligned together. But Florida State still has some money issues that need to be addressed. And I think because Vince has that background, the business savvy, the financial acumen, he can really help Florida State not only with that, but also positioning the athletic department in a much better way for this whole new era with NIL and different opportunities to bring in marketing sponsorship opportunities, et cetera. So I believe that is the appeal of Vince to Florida State. But I will tell you that when I first heard his name, I was surprised.
Andrea Adelson, ESPN.com, does great work over there. Encourage you to go read some of her stuff over there. You can see her on SportsCenter. ACC Network does fantastic work. Is this a done deal with Vince Tyree? I feel like everyone's refreshing Twitter. There's all these Board of Trustees meetings. Again, I feel like we've become experts in this. But barring any sort of last-minute switch, is Vince a lock-in for this?
Well, it's not a done deal yet because he has his contract situation to resolve with Louisville, and Florida State is not going to move forward with anything until that contract is resolved. But as far as I know, and again, it's what, Tuesday at 1:36 p.m., Florida State has told the other people who interviewed for the job that they're going in a different direction, and that this is the direction that they plan to go in. So I have not heard anything about reopening the search, interviewing other people. As far as I know, the search has been completed. It's just a matter of Vince being able to tie up Louisville so that he can then be free to move on to Florida State.
She is Andrea Adelson at A. Adelson ESPN on Twitter. Always has a pulse on college football, specifically the ACC, and also the former commissioner of the now defunct Princess Football League. She's very sad news, but you know, that's just what happens as people get older. But yeah, she joins us here on the V Show. Phil Baker, Nick Valvano filling in. We talked about the a little bit of the what. I mean, you were one of the ones that helped break the news of Tyree heading to FSU. We talked a little bit about maybe the how and the why with Phil just a second ago. But when do you think this is happening? If you were to give it a timetable, our own Drew Diener kind of mentioned the fact that typically it's the school that is getting the said commodity, the coach, the AD, that breaks the news first, and then the other school has to say goodbye and either amicably or with a bunch of venom and then get somebody else. So, and also a quick follow-up to that, when do you think this happens, and how do you think this changes the path for Florida State and, in a bigger picture, the ACC?
When does it happen? Again, I think a lot of that is dependent on how his contract gets resolved, because I believe there are some clauses in there that have to be worked out. It's very unusual to see a sitting athletic director move to a different school within the same conference. It might happen twice here in the ACC over a matter of several days, with Dan Radakovich potentially leaving Clemson for Miami. He is Miami's top choice, by the way. So it's a bit unusual to see that. Usually if an AD goes, he moves on somewhere else to a different conference and it doesn't become a little awkward. But in this situation, it's my understanding that it probably would be mutually beneficial for him to move on. And in terms of Florida State, you know, what's interesting here is this is a program that really has had tremendous success with every other sport but football, right? Look at what Leonard Hamilton has done with the basketball program. The soccer program has been outstanding. Their track and field program has been a model. Softball, baseball. I could sit here and go down the list of all of these programs at Florida State that have been winning more recently than football. So again, the financial commitment and what they can do to be able to make this long-awaited standalone football facility a reality, to be able to help create more funding and better funding opportunities for that. Those plans are still in the works, by the way. They believe they'll hopefully be able to break ground on that at some point next year. They're still working through some of the final design phases of it, and they've got some money raised. But putting the football program in a position where they can capitalize better financially than what they've been able to do has to be the number one priority for Vince when he comes over to Florida State, and making sure that Mike Norvell and the football staff have everything that they need to get the job done, specifically because of what just happened in Miami today, with Miami now upping the ante and actually throwing big time money at their football program for the very first time. That's going to put way more pressure on Florida State to find similar types of money, which they do not currently have. to be able to compete with now what Miami is going to have, not just head coach, because Mike Norvell is not going to be paid $8 million a year at this point, but in terms of support staff, recruiting, all the other stuff that goes with being able to say that you are funding your football program at an elite level, Florida State's going to have to find a way to match whatever Miami is doing right now. And Florida is doing the exact same with their new head coach, Billy Napier. He talked at length on Sunday about making sure that he had all of the resources in place, not just for himself, but everything else that goes with running a football program, to put them in a position where they can compete against the likes of Georgia and Alabama and those schools that have everything. That is going to be the mission for Vince Tyree once he gets to Florida State. It's not going to be an easy one because it's a smaller donor base. So that's where the business side of it comes in, finding creative and different ways to be able to bring more money into football so they can therefore keep pace with what their top competitors are doing.
Andrea Adelson, you can see her on SportsCenter, writes on ESPN.com, all over the place, doing great work. A follow-up with that, this long, windy road to land on Mario Cristobal, I mean, was it as messy of a situation as you can recall to land on your guy, and just a blueprint of how not to conduct a coaching search? When you alluded to this, there's not an athletic director in charge. They landed on their guy, but it seemed very messy to get there.
It really did, and it feels a little bit dirty and gross how the whole thing happened. And I know people are not going to feel bad for someone who's getting paid, you know, millions of dollars a year. But at the same time, Miami knew that they wanted Mario, and they obviously knew Manny Diaz was not going to be good enough. So the right thing to do would have been to fire Manny the way everyone expected they were going to do, and then go ahead and get Mario. I mean, their fallback plan was, if Mario Cristobal said no, that they were going to keep Manny Diaz. How awkward would that situation have been, not just for him, but for the players and the coaching staff, knowing full well that you weren't really wanted to begin with. But a lot of people in Miami have amnesia and have already forgotten about the way the process went down, because they got their guy in Mario Cristobal. And as somebody who grew up in South Florida, watched the Miami program win one national championship after another, watched the Miami program for the last 15 years struggle to be relevant, mm-hmm. I never thought Miami would spend this much money to get football right. So the fact that they've finally woken up to the reality of the current college football landscape is a positive for Miami. I think it brings them much closer to answering that age-old question, when will Miami be back? But there's a lot more that needs to be fixed there besides throwing money at the problem, starting with the culture that surrounds the program and a lot of the negativity and toxicity that Miami has been known for in recent years. I think Mario brings everybody together. He's the favorite son coming home, the conquering hero. And so I think he is going to have the best shot of any coach Miami has hired since Larry Coker to win Miami a national championship. But it's going to take more than just the money to do it.
Andrea Adelson of ESPN.com, Nick Valvano, Phil Baker filling in for Bobby V. Did Kirk Herbstreit on College Game Day spark all this change? And who is the money behind this that you talked about actually putting up money for this? Is it just some new big-time booster? I saw a tweet where it was the University of Miami healthcare system was involved. Can you kind of expound on that?
Yeah, you're right. I keep asking myself, where was all this money before? And it wasn't embarrassing enough for the university when Mark Richt was the head coach for him to put in $1 million out of his own pocket to help fund an indoor football facility. The most embarrassing thing was Kirk Herbstreit going on College Game Day and humiliating the program by saying they didn't spend money and there was no alignment. That's truly what got them to change and to sit here and start thinking, oh man, I guess we really have become a national laughingstock. Before, they just thought, we're Miami football. We recruit in the best area in the country. we don't have to do anything to invest. The recruits will come to us, even though it wasn't happening. They still had this outdated way of thinking, and the athletic department was expected to sustain itself. They never got any help from the university to be able to support football in a much larger way, while everyone else in the ACC was spending all this money, and Alabama and all these other top programs, Miami was sitting there with, you know, group of five facilities, quite honestly. So what happened was, yes, the Kirk Herbstreit comments hurt. They hurt badly, and they realized we have to do something. It can't keep going on like this. Where's the financial commitment? Where's it going to come from? The University of Miami Health System, which the university owns, turned a 420-something million profit over the last fiscal year. And so they decided to do away with their old way of thinking that athletics has to support itself and give the athletic department money, specifically football, so that they could compete at the level that they should have been competing at over the last 10 to 15 years. Beyond that, though, there have been more big money donors see the commitment that Miami has right now and decide, well, I want to be a part of that now. People who never donated before, people who were never a part of the program. You know, there are a lot of big money pockets down in South Florida that haven't been utilized or gone to the extent that they probably should have. And now that's going to open up even more doors for Miami. And I'll give you, you know, an example. I talked to one of Miami's former players who played for Mario Cristobal when he was an assistant there. And he told me that the high school that Mario Cristobal attended, Columbus High, which is one of the most prestigious high schools in the entire South Florida area, probably in the entire state, to be honest, has a ton of wealthy alums who are thrilled that Mario, their Columbus alum, has now come back to coach their favorite team, the University of Miami, and are now going to be donating to Miami. So that's the way that you sit here and you start to spark some change. I mentioned the financial situation at Florida State. Miami has been in a very similar situation. But now they've found a way to bring in a lot of the deep pockets in the South Florida area united behind this cause because they believe in Mario Cristobal and what he stands for and what he brings to the table. So it's a combination of the university finally waking up after 15 years of people telling them they needed to do something.
Right.
And now donors who've woken up and said, hang on, I want to be a part of this too. What can I do to contribute? And I think it's going to, I think it's going to be something that we have not seen ever out of Miami. And when you combine that with the location of where the recruits are, again, I think it's an A-plus for Miami.
The U is back. Andrea Adelson saying the U is back.
On record.
Yeah,
saying on it, record. Yeah.
Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. The U is back. Well, actually, the U was never here before from a financial situation, right? They've never been here before. If they can have all the support that surrounds them, then I think they've given themselves a chance to be back.
It's just crazy to hear Miami in group of five facilities. Like, I just, I mean, I know they've, you know, they've lost their fastball considerably in recent years.
You envision it to be like Camelot down
there.
Exactly. With everything they've done.
That's just crazy. But she is Andrea Adelson of ESPN. One last one for me, Phil, feel free to close it out there. But just talking about one blue blood potentially getting, you know, a little bit of life back in Miami. They get Dan Radakovich, the athletic director from Clemson. Clemson now, the resident blue blood, bit of a down year, which led to a lot of the parity, good or bad, in the ACC. But not only do they lose their AD, they lose their stud defensive coordinator in Brent Venables. What's Clemson going to be like next year? Are they going to continue their kind of fall from grace, or do you think that the Tigers might make a resurgence a bit?
So in terms of, let's just start with the athletic director first right off the bat. They have a succession plan in place. So I think they will be fine. They have a number two who is a rising star in the profession. His name's Graham Neff. And if Dan leaves, he's the guy. So I don't anticipate very much transition when it comes to the top of the athletic department because they already know what they want to do. As for football, if I'm being honest here, I think this whole thing has re-energized Dabo Swinney. I think that he has seen the haters and the people who think the program is over and they're never going to win ever again, and wants to show and use, quote, Lil' Ol' Clemson again to his advantage, because now he can show and tell his players, everyone thinks we're done. Everyone thinks this is over for us. Everyone thinks the dynasty is dead. And I think this is an opportunity for him to reevaluate where the program is, where everything has gone wrong, and bring in some new and fresh blood to bring in different ideas, maybe better ideas, perhaps a different way of doing things, change the mindset on the transfer portal. This, to me, is a recalibration for Clemson and Dabo that they really haven't had a chance to go through yet. Hmm. You know, Alabama loses their coordinators, it feels like, every year.
Right, right.
And they found a way to adapt and move forward and continue to make the playoffs. Now this is the first time that Dabo's really had to do this as an elite program, right? And they might lose Tony Elliott, too, depending on what happens at Duke. So I think this is a great chance for him to do something a little bit different and to find a different type of motivation for Clemson. I would hesitate to say the glory days are over for this program. They're still recruiting at a high level. They still have the best talent in the ACC. So I do not think one, quote, down season, and by the way, they have a chance to win 10 games for the 11th straight year, isn't going to be something that now makes Clemson a team that only wins 7 or 8 games every year. I think they'll be just fine.
Andrea Adelson of ESPN does great work over there. You can see her on SportsCenter and ESPN.com. I know we need to get you out of here. You've been gracious with your time.
I had one more.
Okay, go ahead. Shoehorn that in because I got two more for it. I don't want to keep her too long.
Okay. Andrea, there's been a lot of vitriol here locally about Scott Satterfield and the Brom. The Brom train. Be careful waiting around the Louisville Twitter, because there's some bot or guy that just will reply a million times to you called just saying bring Brom home, bring Brom home, bring Brom home. So the fan base, there was a massive amount. I want to say, I don't know exactly the percentage, but I would say a comfortable majority that wanted Louisville's prodigal son, Jeff.
Felt eerie similar to the Miami situation,
yes,
with Cristobal.
That's a very good comparison. Yeah. Jeff Brom coming back home from Purdue. However, we've had a lot of national people come on and say that, hey, look, you know, Brom's okay, but they've kind of calmed everyone down, or at least attempted to, and said that Scott Satterfield's fine. He's an okay coach. What, you're tied into the ACC. What's a more national perspective of those two guys from Andrea Adelson's point of view?
Well, here's my question about that, is they tried to do this and didn't get him and got Scott Satterfield. So what has changed in the last 3 years that Jeff is now going to change his mind? Is it going to be offering a ton more money than was offered the first time? That's my question, number one. And I don't know the answer to it, so if you guys have any perspective to share with me on this.
Locally, they think it's that the time has changed. He wasn't up there for a cup of coffee, and the one-time transfer rule where he was only recruiting players, especially from the city, up to Purdue, and he didn't feel right looking them in the face and taking the job when he recruited him up there. But the one-time transfer rule, I think, has changed the tone up there from people that are close to his party. And trust me, in Louisville, everyone and their mother knows somebody who's related to somebody that is with the Brom family. So I didn't mean to interrupt, but that's kind of what the environment is surrounding that.
Here's my thing, and I think it would have been fine, and I've heard the vitriol of the Miami fan base today for what I wrote about the program. I think it would have been fine if they gave Manny another year, but I'm in the very clear minority on that, because they were able to get Mario, which, you know, I did not think they'd be able to do. I just want coaches to have enough time to be given a chance to see what they can do. And I think, and this is not going to go over well, I think the fan base has been a little bit unfair to Scott Satterfield, to be honest. And I know they're upset with the way that he handled the South Carolina situation, but that doesn't mean that he should forever and ever be the source of vitriol because he did that. A lot of coaches do that. He didn't handle it well. He's apologized for it. This season wasn't great in a lot of respects and should have been better considering some of the close losses. But I, probably in the minority again, no problem giving him one more year, especially if Malik Cunningham is coming back. Make some of the changes that you need to make on defense. I know they've got commitments from a couple of players in the transfer portal already from an offensive perspective, but I would like for the fans to give him a little bit of a break so they can see perhaps what he can do this year with, I agree with what Vince Tyree said, some necessary staff changes on the defensive side of the ball.
You're not alone in that. You're not alone on that on a national perspective. Yeah, I was going to say you're not alone, but locally it's just...
Let the cake bake on the V show. There we go.
Last two for me, and just you talked about that piggybacking off that, just all the coaching carousel here locally. There's always been a complex with a stepping stone job. Now that Louisville is in a Power 5 conference, obviously there's some blue bloods that are out there. I think that goes back to the Scott Satterfield venom that a lot of people have with the South Carolina meeting that you alluded to. But just what do you make of, there's really no such thing as a stepping stone job now when Notre Dame's losing its coach, and then you got Oklahoma losing its coach to essentially other blue bloods, just the coaching carousel. And then just one more about the college football playoff, just what do you make of the coaching changes that have transpired in the last 2 weeks?
It's my new phrase is expect the unexpected, because I think we all have been conditioned to know that coaches are going to change jobs, but not in the spectacular way that we have seen over the course of the last 2 weeks with Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley and obviously Mario Cristobal. It's a whole new world. It's a whole new dynamic, and I really find it rich that schools that cried poverty last year over the pandemic now have $100 million to throw it head football coaches.
Funny how that works.
Funny how that works. But this is what universities and presidents have created for themselves. This is not something that woke up one day and, let's just decide we're going to go take Notre Dame's head coach for $100 million or whatever it's going to end up being. This is the byproduct of what has already been a completely messed up system. And it will continue to be out of control as long as there is not only this much money, but this much, we have to win right now. We have to win right now. We have to do something right now. And we have to hire this guy right now. And we'll do whatever it takes to hire this guy right now. And if it doesn't work in 3 years, we'll do it again. We'll find the next big guy and do it right now. I don't see that changing at all. And I think that has affected college football coaches in a way that perhaps they have not been affected previously.
Andrea Adelson, last one for me, right up the road, Cincinnati breaking through the glass, making the college football playoff. Do they stand a chance against the mighty Alabama Crimson Tide? And I know you did a great piece on ESPN.com about the 48 hours histories that you had up there with Cincinnati. If you want to talk about that, and just who do you like in the college football playoff? I know we're a few weeks out, but does Cincinnati stand a chance? It seems like a lot of Louisville fans, even though they are rivals, they're rooting for them because they know what it was like to try to have a seat at the table all those years ago.
Well, isn't it funny how it works? They finally break through and they get Alabama as their opponent, right? Like, oh, this is what you wanted? You wanted a playoff spot? Okay, good. Here's Alabama. But at the same time, I don't foresee Cincinnati being any less competitive than Notre Dame was when they made the playoff, right? So anybody who wants to sit here and bash the choice or whatever happens in that game, we can just sit here and roll out the results of every other semifinal game that maybe hasn't been as competitive. I think Cincinnati will be competitive, but I just don't think that their frontline talent matches up with what Alabama brings to the table, especially a very angry and fired up and motivated Alabama football team. So, of course, Alabama has to be considered the favorite. But my kids would hate me forever if I did not say that they're rooting for Michigan because dad is from Ann Arbor and grandma taught at Michigan and grandpa taught at Michigan. So I can tell you who my family is rooting for, and that's Michigan.
Noted. We got it down. Andrea Adelson family pulling for the Wolverines that finally made it to the seat at the table, and Jim Harbaugh off the off the hot seat for a little while. So that's something
theoretically.
I know for the time being. Andrea, you've been gracious with your time. Appreciate the deep dive on the ACC college football in a nutshell. Jeff Brom here locally.
Fantastic.
Scott Satterfield, a deep
All
dive
the
on that.
Marks.
So
absolutely,
I appreciate that, and hope
Thanks,
you
Andrea.
And yours have a great holiday season. We'll talk to you soon.
You guys too. Thanks for having me again.
Thanks, Andrea.
Andrea Adelson, ESPN.com.
Oh,
on SportsCenter, on Packer and Durham. I'm looking at ESPN.com. I mean, she's written so many articles over there, deep dive. I'm a nerd when it comes to this, and I know we need to take a break. I love the college football selection show on Sunday, that hour in between where they just drag it out as much as possible. I wish they did a meaningless bowl thing with just the first responder bowl, the Citrus Bowl. And it was just like, who's going up there? You got like Vanna White just going up there and just pointing to which bowls going where, these meaningless bowl games. But a great deep dive on college football.
I thought you were saying that they should play a meaningless bowl game at that.
Well, I was going to say they already do that right now. So
yeah.
that's
yeah. Okay, fair.
All right. We need to take a break. I believe Perrin Johnson,
Johnson is here.
And we got Eric Crawford coming up at 2:30.
2:15. But he's, God bless Smush, he's, said he's available whenever.
Okay.
So
well,
if we get into just some crazy hot button topic that we're just rolling, I think EC's kind enough that he would hop on a little later. So,
seeing the UPS jobs text line, really happy with that guest. They said she was a home run. So pass that along to Andrea, you will. So he's Nick Valvano. I'm Phil Baker, filling in for Bobby V. He's getting set for the Jimmy V Classic up
tonight,
in the Big
baby.
Apple, baby. So you can listen to Bobby V. Texas Tech in Tennessee coming up at 8 o'clock on 93.9 The Ville, followed by Syracuse and Villanova, an old Big East showdown. I'm excited for that one.
I desperately want look. He's up there calling a great game. I can't wait for that Villanova Syracuse game. It is. I'm so bummed that I wasn't able to go up there because I've gone to a couple Jimmy V's in the past and preseason NITs. The Garden's going to be lit.
Oh yeah,
for that. I mean, Syracuse. Typically in the preseason NIT, the handful of times that I was up there and Syracuse was in it, it would get pretty packed. And I mean, for both of those, Villanova and Syracuse, that environment's going to be absolutely fantastic, electric.
I went up in 2009-ish when I think Louisville. That's when they were getting bounced by Pitt. Pretty early on, but man, just to sit back and see the old Big East. Well, I guess the oldish / newish Big East with some of the Conference USA folks there. But to see some of, the UConn fans, the Villanova, the Syracuse fans take over was a blast. I love the Garden. I want to get back there.
Have you seen the new Garden?
I haven't. I've seen photos of it, but I've been up to the city right before COVID hit, but I did not get to go to a Knicks or Rangers game or anything.
I desperately want to go on the little walkway.
Oh, I know. I do too.
I'm usually scared of heights, but if you give me enough. They sell the Bat Blue in like giant oil cans there. Give me one of those and the Rangers and, battling, then I'll be okay.
It seemed unnecessary to build it at the time, but when you're in this arms race of just updating these dated facilities, that's what you have to do.
It doesn't smell like pee anymore, which kind of is a bit of a bummer.
Always makes me think of Ninja Turtle Secret of the Ooze and whatnot, but that's a discussion for another day.
Hopefully Bobby V will join also around 2:30 to record a Blue Chew spot. And maybe also give a take or two about what's going on. Maybe he's at shoot around right now. Maybe he can preview the Jimmy V. We'll see. Or maybe he'll just connect to 93.9 and bust out a Blue Chew spot like during the commercial break. Who the hell knows? But he did send me a photo last night. Ugh. Two slices New York pie. 11:15. He got there late. His train was delayed. And I mean, he's like, hey, Nick, you jelly? And just sent me a photo of two fantastic slices. Oh my God, the thing's the size of my head, and I was a C-section. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
I just see Bobby V just taking a little stroll around Central Park with a piece of pie. Just taking it all in, just whistling. That's his element up there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, we'll break. Perrin Johnson on the other side of the break. Eric Crawford around 2:15, 2:20-ish or so to break down everything that's transpired. I believe Nikki V will have that podcast. And you'll probably hear some clips from Andrea Adelson in a sports center because I thought she had a good overview of college football here locally and afar. So it's the V Show here on ESPN 680 and 105.7 and the ESPN Will app. We'll be back right after this.